Okay, so we'd hiked in. First day we hiked in. Of course, I hike fast. I hike at warp speed. I don't climb steps slowly. I don't walk slowly. It's exhausting me. Wears my muscles out. I charge and go, and I get there fast, and I'm not tired. By the way, this is I think they'd call this latte macchiato. This is just a little tiny itty bitty baby bit of espresso in this big glass of milk. It's late at night. I'm not planning on being up all night. I just needed something for this. Okay. Well, no, macchiato means mark or make something dirty. And the idea is that it isn't so much marking something about coloring it, it's marking something by just putting a little tiny bit in. It's like adding like a drop of mint. Like if you put some mint in your milk, it'd be like mint marked milk, like a mint macchiato latte. I think a latte means milk, doesn't it? Okay, all right. So, all right. So where was? So I'm drinking my my espresso macchiato, my espresso macchiato latte, latte macchiato. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's good. So. I'd marched in. I had my backpack on, and it was me, my buddy, who's got two kids, his friend from high school, they met as exchange students in another country, and then a young couple. Now, I was up at the, no, see, I took the lead the next morning, but the kids, the two brothers, the older brother tended to hike with me a lot. I don't know. He just thinks I'm fascinating, I suppose. You know how it is when you're a kid and then like one of your dad's friends, you're like, you want to talk to him because he's interesting. You know, it's something like that. Well, the younger brother, this, I'm telling you, this kid is amazing. We were ahead in the group. You know, I mean, I just had my health exam, as I said in the podcast. I'm taller. I'm a centimeter taller. My waist is slimmer. I'm heavier. I weigh more. I put on weight, muscle. My blood pressure is lower and my eyesight is perfect. I've got a clean bill of health. A lot of people get fat. I think the reason I'm taller is because I'm getting my back straightened out with this awesome chiropractor. Yeah, that's great. So I'm healthy. I'm healthy as a gazelle. And so I'm right up there at the front. Everybody else is getting middle-aged and they're getting furniture disease, you know, where the chest falls into the drawers. And I'm up there with the older of these, you know, this is the 11-year-old. I'm up at the front of this thing and we're trudging through, boom, 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 just zipping right through this. About 2 kilometers an hour is what we were hiking at. Because there's like stuff to step over and roots here and stones to climb up, and you're up in the altitude already. I mean, you're already high up. The atmosphere is already thin. You walk up a small hill, you're exhausted. Sit down, rest for 30 seconds, you feel like you took an hour nap. You know, like it's just lack of oxygen is the problem. So we're up ahead, but in the group behind us, the dad and his friend and then the younger brother, the 9-year-old. This 9-year-old is leading their group. He would stay at the front and he would trudge along, but he was little and he would get tired and he would start crying and he'd sit down and he'd cry. And I think he'd cry not because of the pain of the muscles in his legs, but because he did not have the oxygen to keep walking. And he was, I think anyway, you know, I mean, he's, doesn't know that wonderful of English. I could speak to him a little bit in Mandarin. But I think the thing that really irritated him was that he had to stop. The atmosphere beat him. The atmosphere crushed him. And so he'd have to stop and he was upset that he couldn't keep going. So he'd stop, cry, catch his breath, and then get up and go, you know, keep going. And he cried his way in for 3 hours. Well, the older brother and I arrived at the lodge first, right on time. I mean, after hiking in for an hour, I said, "Oh, this is how long it's going to take us." And we arrived on the minute. We took off our bags and everything. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to go back and carry that kid." And then I found him on the trail. They were almost there. And the kid was like 20 meters from the end of his trail. And he was stopped on the ground crying because he'd ran out of energy and couldn't walk another 20 meters. And I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking to myself, this would be cruel if I picked up this kid and carried him the last 20 meters in this walk that he did all by himself. So I looked at him and I told him in Chinese, I said, "Ni li hai." I said, "You are," the word is formidable, but I, you know, awesome, formidable. You're doing good work. I said, "Ni han lei." I said, "You're very tired because you're so awesome." And I said, "Shengli yo zhe ge ganjue." Victory has this feeling. This is what victory feels like. And so he's crying. He finished his oxygen break, got up, looked at me, still crying, and marched, stomped. I mean, this is this little tiny kid, you know, high-fisted, stomped the rest of his way up the path. Anyhow, I snapped a picture of both kids from down below. Like it's a zigzag trail up, and I was one zag down. So I'd take a picture of them up on the top of the hill for their dad, having just arrived. So, well, later that day, there was a peak. I mean, we were going to go up to, you know, Mount Jade Peak the next day. But there was a peak nearby called West Peak. And this is where my crazy Asian life gets interesting. We were going to go, but the dad and his buddy, they knew that they were going at 3 kilometers an hour, not two, or they were in 1.5 kilometers an hour, not two. Dinner was at from 5 to 5:30, like only half an hour, but like everybody at the lodge is like scheduled. And so, you know, that's easy. That actually works. But you got to have dinner early so you can go to bed. Cause you got to get up at 2. You can't have dinner at 7. You're asleep. I mean, at 7, you're out cold. You can't, after this, you cannot sleep, and you shouldn't. You cannot stay awake after 7, and you shouldn't be awake after 7. So it was 2:30. No, it was 2:15. It was 2 kilometers to this West Peak. This is just nearby a little mini summit in the woods. And I mean, it would take an hour in and an hour out, and they knew that they didn't walk fast enough to make it work. So the 11-year-old and I and the young couple decided to go in, and the dads stayed with the younger brother. So we went in and we walked in, and I mean, there was a short time where this 11-year-old was like, I just kept pushing him, and I just kept, you know, talking to him about, you know, life and how you keep going and how most of the time life isn't fun and easy all the time, but that's part of the victory. You push through the mountains, you're exhausted, and you see awesome altitude, fun stuff. Clouds are rolling uphill at you and all that. And it's not just easy breezy. It's exhausting and it's painful and it's tiring, but it's rewarding at the same time. And that's what victory and passion and pursuits are all about. And so I'm having this philosophy chat with the kid. There was a point where he'd run out of oxygen and I knew that we had to go. And so I loaned him my oxygen. I picked him up and carried him up this steep set of rocks for 10 meters. And then at the end of that, I collapsed. We made it to the end. It's called West Peak. It was great. We hung out there for a few minutes, took some pictures, ran back, got there just in time for dinner. It was great. I'm writing more about it in Asia and from Asia with, no, I am. I do books. I blog. You want to know more about my crazy life in Asia? You got to subscribe to FromAsiaWithLove.net. But that's the long and short of the story. I won't bore you with more details, but later on that night, it was Bible time. We're talking 7:30. Everyone's going to bed. Everyone's exhausted. I mean, it's like, it's a fight to climb up the ladder to get in bed. You're just tired. Not from altitude. You can climb up a ladder in the altitude, but it's just you're exhausted from. I mean, we literally marched. Oh my goodness, we must have marched 13 kilometers that day, because we marched 8.5 in to the base camp, and then 4.4 kilometers round trip to West Peak. Yeah, man, that's a lot. But later on that night, the Lord's like, Jesse, I want you to go read that passage about Moses, how he came up and saw me as the burning bush. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, the Lord told me that. Okay, so God talks to me because I listen. Whatever. I don't want to confuse you and distract. But so I opened up my Bible app. I have like a $700 Bible app. I study Bible in college. You know, graphic designers get like, you know, a $700 version of, you know, Adobe. I have a $700 Bible app. So I open up my Bible app, start reading Exodus 4. I guess that's where it was. I was right on the money. And, well, no. I went to Bible college and majored in Bible. That doesn't mean that I know every single chapter and verse in the Bible. I know how to accurately guess. Okay, so, all right. So, you know, and I had the 11-year-old read this also, because he went with me. See, when Moses was out shepherding his sheep, when he saw the burning bush, he had gone out to the west pasture. And it was the west peak where we had gone that day on our little extra adventure. I just thought that was kind of cool. Okay, well, I'm gonna give you some Easter eggs and drag this out just a few more minutes and tell you what happened the next day. So we got up 2 o'clock. Someone's phone went off. It sounded like like the theme for Close Encounters of a Third Kind, only like in a minor or in a major key. It was really weird. It's like, what was that thing that I just heard? 15 minutes later, I couldn't sleep, so I got up. It was 2:15 a.m. Everyone's slowly shuffling around. Now, I realized the night before, the 9-year-old had thrown up. I mean, I'm just like, this kid is awesome. He throws up from altitude sickness, and he's still going. In the morning, he almost threw up again. So I went and got him some good rice. And then later on, we're ready to go. The 11-year-old starts feeling nauseous. And so, and the 9-year-old wasn't going to go. But here is morning. He's ready to go. I'm going. I'm going to go. So we're going. So we start walking up, and I said, I'm going to lead the group. So I led the group. We realize the stars are bright as they are in rural Michigan, and we've all got our headlights on. We wear these lights on our heads. So we start zigzagging up the mountain. I'm talking the whole way, and after about 5 minutes, the 11-year-old gets sick, and he has to go back. It was just too much for him. And about 10 minutes later, the 9-year-old is tired and he has to go back. Now, I think the 9-year-old was beat. The 11-year-old was beat down a little bit because he went to West Peak. He did the extra 4 kilometers the day before. So we keep going. So the two boys go back to the lodge while the rest of the adults go up. And they're fine there. You know, they got a lodge keeper and it's a National Park Service thing. They're okay. Their kids are okay by themselves. They're not by themselves. So we, everybody else, including the dad, we all continue going on up. I lead the way, and it gets cold, and I can't see my breath because my breath turns to snow before it can be a fog. And it gets windy, and there's a chain you have to grab onto in order to keep going. And then eventually there's this doorway. Like, I'm like, it's like the Hobbit's like, look, it's a doorway. And so, you know. So we walk through this caged stairs for a short distance, do more chain climbing. It eventually becomes kind of like slow, soft, easy rock climbing. And when you get to the peak, you actually have to climb up onto the peak. Like, it is a peak. So you get up there and it's dark and you can't see anything and you're searching around with your headlight and you're like, oh, there it is. It's the thing in all the pictures. It's the little monument stone thing up at the top. You're like, oh my goodness. And you can't see anything around you, but you know that you're at the highest area in East Asia. You're at the highest peak in East Asia because of this monument right in front of you. You can see with your headlight. So we showed up. Of course, I let the other guys that were with me go reach the thing first. We start checking in on our phones. We start taking our selfies and pictures. And More people come. We'd passed all the groups that had left 30 minutes before us. I had passed them, of course. And as I was going up the mountain, my buddy, he says, "Jesse, how can you just go straight up for 2 hours? What God do you believe in?" He asked me. I told him I believe in the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, born during the days of Caesar Augustus, crucified under the administration and protest of Pontius Pilate. The most famous man in all history, but not famous enough for me. So that was it. We got up there. Someone pulled out their burner and started making tea. Very, very Taiwanese. And it's warm also. Warm your hands. But we're pulling out our phones. And sun was about to come up after about 40 minutes. It was really cold up there. Windy, cold. No snow yet other than our breath. And you're looking down at the clouds. The sun starts to light up the horizon, but it's not up yet. And this lady had these two Taiwanese flags. And I asked her, I said, "Nikai Jiawama," I asked, "can you loan me one of those? Can I borrow one of those?" And so she threw it at me with a big smile on her face. I got up there and my buddy's high school buddy, my buddy's buddy, grabbed the phone and took a whole bunch of pictures. And that's the picture of me up on Instagram. So sun was up. We marched down, grabbed our bags, and you know, this is the thing. While we were on that last leg, going up the last part of the peak, I kept thinking to myself, and the dad kept telling me, "I'm so glad the boys aren't here because they would not be capable of doing this. They wouldn't be able." There were some gaps, like you had to step way out over the mountain, nothing below you, and you had to have long legs to do it, and the boys wouldn't have been able to get across there. Not safely. And it would have been too windy. They would not have been able to continue. They would not have been able to. So it was a good thing that they'd gone back like they did. And I think if we had not gone to West Peak the day before, the 11-year-old might have tried to go all the way up to the top of the mountain because he wouldn't have been so tired. So anyhow, that was it. So we came down from the mountain, grabbed our bags. And it was funny because when we got down, my buddy's buddy says, where's the dad? Where's your buddy? I'm like, I don't know. He's not here. Like, no, he's nowhere. The boys haven't seen him. Nobody's seen him. He'd gone the wrong way. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and I said, "Friend, I want you to believe in God, and I want you to know that I am praying right now that your buddy, that he would get back here." And I couldn't finish speaking before the dad showed back up. I went the wrong way. And I'm like, right in the middle of my sentence, I told you I'm praying for it, and God answers it. I said, file that one away. So, yeah. No, I don't believe that they believe in God. Look, I don't try to force people to believe in God. But, you know, if there is a God and you can believe that the real God is real, wouldn't your life be better off, you know? But I don't try to force people. I really don't try to force people. I don't try to force people. But I just see it as just trying to help people like, you know, if you have a family member you never met, it's nice to meet them, you know, and know that they're real. You know, that's all. That's all. I don't believe in religion stuff. But okay, that I don't want to get into the different subjects and stuff. But God was there in a lot of ways with that type of stuff. And it was an absolutely amazing journey. And I am out of time. And I will see you all again. I don't know. When's... I'll see. You will hear me next week.